So when you see scripture and you think about people in scripture, as I've been in studying, you see that God does hide people in scripture, kind of constantly. He hides people in scripture, in his word, from difficulties. He hides them from situations or circumstances. He may hide them from going through certain trials and storms. Other times he doesn't. He hides us to protect us. And then he also hides us for intimacy. And I think about David. You know, for such a long time, he was being hidden by the Lord. And during that time, he was writing songs, writing worship songs. His heart was changing towards God. And so I'm sure there was healing that happened, that God would hide us for growth, that God hides us to discipline us and to correct us. There's a lot of reasons why God may be hiding you right now. And looking at scripture, right, and seeing different people that God has hidden, I'm going to read some verses. And like I said, like, we're students of the Lord, and I'm not going to be going through one specific passage this morning. I'm going to be going through a few. And so if you have your Bibles and you're taking notes, or you have your phone with you, you know, you can just jot these down. Maybe for you, right, this morning, maybe for someone else later today, or for you in the next few weeks. So again, just if you have the means to just be a student, write these down, look at these over. So the first one is from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23. And this is Moses being hidden. So Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23, it says, "By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents, because they saw that he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's command." David was hidden from Saul. So this is 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse 14. It says, "Saul hunted him day after day, but God did not let Saul find him. Even Jesus had to be hidden in Egypt until it was safe." So speaking about Jesus and him being hidden, if you want to go to our write down, Matthew chapter 2, verse 13, it says, "Now then they had departed. Behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, 'Arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him.'" And so we see, even when it comes to the life of Jesus, that Jesus was hidden as a child, right, as a baby. And then if you look back at the Gospels, you can see that Jesus multiple times hid himself from the crowds, hid himself from people, until it was the right time, the anointed time, God's timing for him to be tried and crucified. But you see it throughout, Jesus doing it himself, hiding himself for a very specific reason, because it was not his time to die. It was not his time to go through that trial. And so it's throughout the Gospels. If you are reading through them, you know, or if you read back at them, you'll see this. And the verse I'm going to read is from John chapter 8, verse 59. And it says, they took up stones to throw at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. So Jesus himself, right, knowing everything, said, okay, well, I need to hide myself to protect myself right now, until it's the right time for me to do what I came to do. And so you see it in Moses, you see it in David, you see it in Jesus. And I think God does this in our lives, that he hides us for a lot of different reasons. And if you're just kind of looking at Jesus and people in scripture, we kind of just get these little snippets of their life. There's so much about the people in scripture that we don't know about. And one of them is Jesus, right? We know a lot about his birth. Okay, that's kind of a given, right? We celebrate that. We know that when he was young, that he went into the temple and that he was teaching. And then we get him in his 30s when the Gospels start speaking about him. But when you look at just his life, there are these huge gaps of the unwritten life of Jesus, things that we don't know, right? Experiences that we don't know, things that we don't know that he did. At the very end of the Gospel of John, it says that there wouldn't be enough books there wouldn't be enough to write down all the things that Christ did when he was here. So we have these huge gaps, not in his life, but in a lot of people's lives in Scripture. But we do know that during this time, God was doing something, right, with his son. So in Luke chapter 2, verse 52, it says, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men." So we do know that during these big chunks of time of the unwritten life of Jesus, that God was actually working in him and teaching him and growing him, right? In favor with God and with men, and we see that. We see that while Jesus was being hidden until what we see publicly written out in Scripture, that there was a lot going on. And we can see this through a lot of people in the Bible. And so I got 3 points for you this morning of maybe why God would be hiding you. And the first one is this: God will hide you to protect you. God will hide you to protect you. Protect you from something that will destroy you in some way, right? That will be difficult for you to go through. And I think a lot of times we don't allow God's protection in our lives. We have our will and God has his will. The people around us have their will and the people around them have their wills, right? There's a lot of wills going on, right, on this earth constantly. And we have our own passions, right? And maybe those passions don't line up with what God wants us to do. And we have our own temptations, right? Our own lust, right? A lot of the times we are pushing our own agenda, what we want. And I think that God does hide us to protect us because a lot of times our will or what we want doesn't line up with his, or if it does, maybe it doesn't line up with his timing. And so God will protect us. And he does this for a lot of reasons, because he doesn't want things to destroy us, because he knows that things will, or certain opportunities will, because it's not the right opportunity for you, or it's not the right time for you to take that opportunity. And so God is a lot of times telling us just to wait and to wait on him. And waiting, there's an art to that. Waiting can get really heavy for a lot of us, right? Waiting for opportunity, waiting for dreams to come true, waiting for this person or that person, right? Waiting is a difficult thing. And what you see in Scripture is people were constantly waiting, that you're in good company, right, when it comes to waiting. So quick examples here. Joseph, who we're going to read about right now, he waited 13 years until God did what he wanted to do in his life. Abraham, 25 years. Jesus, 30 years until he walked into his ministry and what God had him to do. And then Moses, 40, right? Decades of people in Scripture just waiting on God. And I'm sure very, right, difficult thing to do. And some of us have been there. We have been waiting on the Lord for months or for years for us to do the things, or for him to do the things that we want him to do in our lives. But in that waiting, okay, take it as God's protection. Take waiting not as God punishing you, but God protecting you. And so again, the example that we're going to look at is Joseph. Joseph is such a good example of God's protection in the waiting on his timing. Joseph believed that God had destined him for great things, right? In dreams, God showed Joseph that he was going to be in this position of power, of leadership over his parents, over his brothers. And so we're going to read about that right now in Genesis 37, starting off in verse 5. It says, "One night Joseph had a dream, and when he told his brothers about it, they hated him more than ever. Listen to this dream," he said. "We were out in the field tying up bundles of grain. Suddenly my bundle stood up, and your bundles all gathered around and bowed low before mine." His brothers responded, "So you think you will be our king, do you? Do you actually think you will reign over us?" And they hated him all the more because of his dream and the way he talked about them. Soon Joseph had another dream, and again he told his brothers about it. So when I read this, right, and I've always thought this, I'm like, why would he do that, right? Why? He knew that his brothers didn't like the first dream. Why would he share with them the second dream, right? Maybe Joseph was a little bit of a brat, right? Or he was just the younger brother, right? I think a majority of us have younger siblings, right? And we know that they sometimes know how to get us, push our buttons. People do. Okay, so maybe that was the reason why. But for whatever reason, okay, Joseph was like, oh, you hated that dream? Wait until you hear this dream. Okay, that's kind of what I'm reading right here, right? So in verse 9, he says, listen, I had another dream. And if I was one of his brothers, I'd be like, I don't care. But he shares it with them, right? And he says, the sun, the moon, the 11 stars bowed low before me. Verse 10, it says, at this time he told the dream to his father as well to his brothers. But his father scolded him. What kind of dream is that? He asked. Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow to the ground before you? But while his brothers were jealous of Joseph, his father wondered what the dreams meant. Joseph knew that he had this divine blessing, okay? His brothers thought differently. But what you see in Joseph's life, until it actually happened, Joseph was protected. He was protected a lot. God hided him a lot and protected him in that. He was protected from being murdered by his brothers. He was protected while he was in slavery. He was protected in jail. He was protected at his job. And slowly God's will led him to the place of his dreams. So for years, you see God's protection over and over and over again in Joseph's life. And you see him waiting, right? He knew what God had for him, but it wasn't on his timing. It wasn't when he maybe wanted it. But until his dreams actually came true, you see so much of God's protection in it. And that's what God will do. God will protect us until his right timing, until his will for things. Again, there's reasons why God does this. And it's to, a lot of times, get us ready for it. Whatever it is, God is getting you ready for it. Or God is getting it, whatever it is, ready for you and for other people, right? Like, there's things we have that God wants us to do. Whatever it is, God is getting you ready for it, and God is getting other people ready for it. And so what we need to do is to try not to bring out things or expose things before their timing, to allow God to hide us, to protect us until his timing. So again, is God hiding right now to protect you? And God does this because God wants to set us up. And I think sometimes we forget that God is like on our side, that God does not want us to fail in life. And so when God is hiding you to protect you, he's not punishing you, right? While God is hiding you to protect you, he's getting it ready or you ready, and he's setting you up for the next thing. And why wouldn't any of us want that? Why wouldn't we want God to set up what's next for us in our life? So when you think about it that way, you don't want to get ahead of the Lord. You don't want to get ahead of his timing. You don't want to get ahead of his will for you. You want to stay in that protection until he's done setting it up for you, whatever the next step is for your life. And so let God set you up, because if God does that and you allow him the time to do that, and you take his protection as protection and not as punishment, you take his waiting as protection and not as punishment, he's going to set you up, and he's going to set you up so that you succeed. Because he doesn't want you to fail. He doesn't want to see his son, his daughter, his children fail. And he's going to set you up in the right way, in the way where you are going to succeed. And whatever dreams like Joseph had, whatever desires that you have, whatever will that you have, that lines up to what God has for you in your life. And I know it doesn't always feel like this, right? There's sometimes we go through these seasons, or maybe just this seems like it's always for you, that you are forgotten. I know I felt that way. I know every single one of us in this room has felt that way, that we are forgotten, that God has forgotten us, right? That no one maybe appreciates us, right? Our work doesn't appreciate us, people in our homes, right? Our spouse, children, right? You can go through these times, or maybe they're big portions of times, where you just feel unappreciated. That you're doing the work, you're putting in the energy, right? You're keeping the faith, you're doing all the things, but for some reason, your opportunity just hasn't come. And it seems like you are celebrating everyone else's opportunities. You are the one who's celebrating everyone else's big life events, and you're just waiting for yours. And my encouragement to you this morning is just to keep on waiting. You're in good company, right? People have waited decades, right? And it may not bring you all that much comfort right now, but know that in that waiting, it's not punishment, right? It's protection, and that God is setting you up for what's next. And so let him do that. And the Word of God says that while he's doing that, that we need to keep the faith. And then Galatians 6:9 encourages us and it says, let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not lose heart. That while we're waiting for the Lord's timing and will in our lives, that we need to keep moving forward, that we need to keep the faith and keep doing the good that God has called us to do. So again, I'll read it for those of you guys who need to hear it again. Galatians 6:9. Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. So when you feel like God's work in your life is unfinished or unrewarded, this is the encouragement for you. To don't lose heart, to keep doing good, and to wait for that opportunity to come along. And if you feel like you've missed opportunities in your life, because you weren't ready or it wasn't the right timing, God will give opportunities again. He's not done with you. You're here, you're breathing, right? God's not done with you. So yeah, maybe you did miss opportunity, but God is so good to us that he will give us another opportunity. Maybe even a better one, because now we're ready for it. Now because it's in his timing and his will. And so if God is hiding you right now to protect you, let him do that. And don't take his protection as his punishment. You're not forgotten. The second thing is that God will hide you to separate you. Jesus said in Luke chapter 14, starting off in verse 25, if you're taking notes. Now great multitudes went with him. He turned and said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and child, brother and sister, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. So Jesus says that, hey, what I want to do in your life and the devotion that I want to have, that I want you to have for me, is in this right here, that you would just be mine. And I would just be yours, right? That you would separate yourself from your father, your mother, wife, child, brothers, sisters, and that you will be hidden in me, and I would be your hiding place. That there would be this devotion that you have towards me. And when God is hiding us to separate us, I think for me, right, there's two reasons. One, if you feel called in your life by whatever occupation you have, right, or whatever God's calling, he will separate you for that calling. He will separate you from that job that he has for you, that specific calling that he has for you in your life. And that could be a lonely place when God is calling you to do something and isn't calling the people around you to do it. And then also God will separate you so that you can grow in devotion towards him like David. But I want to talk about the first one, is that God will separate you in your calling and what he has for you in your life. And again, that can be this lowly place, this lonely place. And it's okay, you know, when that happens. When God calls you to do something, when God has a specific job for you to do, maybe it's just for a moment or for a season or for the rest of your life, that can get lonely. Certain titles that we have, certain responsibilities that we have in our occupation, in our lives, that those can be lonely places because only we can do those things because only God is calling us to do those things at that particular time, right? Or in our families or at our jobs. And the same thing goes with ministry too. You know, like there are times where this is this job where you are alone a lot, just doing the work of the Lord and no one else really sees it. And that's true for really any job or any occupation you have, any role that you have in life. That you put in so much work into it because this is what God has called you to do. And so you're going to do it and you're going to do it great, right? Because you know that he's holding you accountable. So you're going to be great at your job. You're going to be a great parent. You're going to be a great spouse. You're going to be a great friend. You're going to be a great whatever it is. But the work that goes into it, a lot of times people don't see it. But for you, you know, it's okay. God has separated me for this work. right? God is separating me for this. And I look at this, and the one thing that I think about is this event that we do every single year, the gathering. We do it every single year. It's a New Year's lock-in for the youth group for junior high and high school students. So if you don't know about it, I'm just going to share it real quick. We, again, do this lock-in. It starts at 10 p.m. on New Year's Eve, and it ends at 7 a.m. on New Year's Day. So if you're not listening, let me say that one more time. It starts at 10 p.m. New Year's Eve and ends at 7 a.m. New Year's Day. So we are up all night. And it's on New Year's Eve, which means that the week before is Christmas. So the week before Christmas and New Year's Eve is by far the busiest week, you know, of my entire year, you know, and for the other leaders and volunteers. Like, it's all hands on deck. It takes everyone, right, to get rooms ready, to prepare, worship, sound, all that stuff, because we're entertaining junior high and high school kids for hours in the middle of the night. And there's three reasons why we do this. One is to give our students something to do. Second, to give this opportunity to invite their friends and their family members to church, right, in a different kind of setting, but that there will be worship and teaching, baptism, an opportunity for them to hear about the Lord and hear about the gospel, and then to provide a safe space, right, instead of junior high and high school students doing something else on New Year's Eve, right? So it's a great event. We have anywhere between like 350 to the couple years ago, we had a little bit over 500, right? And it just keeps getting better and better because we keep doing it, right? I think this is going to be our ninth year coming up. And I'm always like in competition with myself when it comes to this event. I just want it to be better and bigger than it was the year before. And so that takes work. And that's fine. God has separated me from that. God has separated other leaders in that calling to be a youth group for this event, for all the other things that we do. It's my event, right? So it kind of all just stops with me. I'm responsible for it, and I want it to be the best. Everyone does. But I'm willing to put in that extra work, right, and to stay until it's actually finished. And the volunteers are great, right? But I'm not going to say, hey, you need to stay here until I leave, right? It's not like that. So one of the nights in particular, I feel like this happens every year. It's like 12 o'clock at night, and you try to stay up, like the closer to the event, you try to stay up longer and just, right, so that you aren't just collapsing at 2 o'clock in the morning. And so 12 o'clock, we're doing things, people leave, right? 1 o'clock, there's a few more people there, then they leave. 2 o'clock in the morning rolls around, a few people there, then they leave. And there's one particular, again, I feel like this happens a lot, but what I'm remembering now, there's one particular one where it's like 3 o'clock, maybe 4 o'clock in the morning. And, you know, it's like winter, it's cold, I'm tired, all that stuff. And I was cleaning up the stage. I think I was like sweeping it or vacuuming the carpets that are on there, the rugs. And I like just tripped over something. I didn't trip over enough to fall. But when you're just that tired, I was just like, whatever, right? And I just kind of leaned into the fall. And I was like, I'm going down, right? Like, I'm just so tired, right? So I kind of just fall, right? I didn't get hurt or anything. And I'm just like laying on the youth group stage, and I just start crying. And again, tired, cold, right? But I also just think like sometimes it's like we just have to cry, and we have to just cry it out, right? So I don't know. Maybe you guys are just in your cars, right, and you just had this awful morning, or you're just tired and you just cry, right? Or like, I don't, you know, like I think we've all been there. It's like, I don't even know why I'm doing this, right? I don't even know why I'm crying now. I just can't take it, whatever it is. Like, it's just too much. And I was like, okay, there's sad music playing too, like in the back. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to cry just for the until this song's over, the next 2-3 minutes. And then I'm just going to let it out. I'm just going to cry for whatever reason I'm crying right now. And after the song, I'm just going to get up and just continue to do what God has called me to do when it comes to this event. That's it, right? I have like no other choice, you know? No one else is here, you know? This stuff has to be ready so that we're on schedule for this event. And so I'm just going to give myself these 3 minutes, and I'm going to get up, and I'm going to do what God has called me to do. And then you do that. We all do that, right? We know that God hides us and separates us for specific things that he's called us to do. And we just have to, you know, let the cries out, the frustration, the prayers, you know, and then just continue on doing what God has called us to do. So I think that's one reason why God separates you, because the callings that he has in our life are not always the easiest, but he's called us to do it, and so we're going to keep doing it. The other one is that he'll do this so that we can grow in intimacy with him, in devotion to him. And I think about David, right? In the word David, God hid David. David knew he was going to do things in his life. He knew that he was anointed. He knew that he was going to be king. But first, God hid him. God separated him for a while. And what we see is that David, before he went to go and do the things that God called him to do in God's anointing timing, that he spent his time in the fields, right? He spent his time in the wilderness making songs, making worship songs. God continued to hide him, to separate him, so that he could grow in his intimacy with God and his friendship with God. God separated him so that he could be a man after God's own heart. And so God will do this for us. He will separate us for a time so that we could grow in devotion towards him, so that he could really be our cornerstone, right? He could really be the rock that we plant our house on top of, so that we could really be men and women who are men and women after God's own heart. And he'll do this, and sometimes he'll do this in big chunks in our lives. There was this trip I was able to take to Italy when I was younger, and I was in Venice, right? And this is before there was like iPhones everywhere and Wi-Fi everywhere, which probably helped the situation. And I was just like there, alone, traveling, right? No one else around me that spoke English, you know, no internet on my phone to distract me. And it was that particular time on that trip, I remembered it so clearly where I was, that I was like, man, God has really separated me right now. And yeah, I'm on vacation, but still, like, I'm separated right now from things, from people, right, from distractions. And my intimacy and relationship really grew with God on that trip. And I think that's why I tend to take these trips, even day trips in my life, just to get away for a little bit, right? And to grow in my devotion and intimacy and friendship with God over and over again. And I know for me and for you, you know, we can't take trips, right? We can't go to Venice whenever we want, okay? But we need to do that in our own lives. Carve out time where we are hidden in Christ, where we're separated from the world. You know, when we're separated from our responsibilities, right? From people, right? From people who need things from us. And that just takes some few minutes in the morning or at night, or devoting a drive, right? Of you running around your errands. I don't know how it looks for you and your life and your routine, but I know that God wants to continue to be a hiding place for you. And that you need to, just like I need to, separate time for him, carve out time for him, create space for him, so we can grow in devotion, in friendship, and in intimacy with him. And if you feel like that's where you're at right now, take pleasure in that, right? Count it as a blessing that God is hiding you right now, that you don't have a lot of people pulling you here and there, right? Or a demanding job right now, right? Or I don't know, certain relationships or friendships, right? Maybe this is just a time for you and for Jesus, for you to become someone who is separated so that you become someone who is a man or a woman after God's own heart. And the last thing that I want to share when it comes to that is a quote from Tozer. He said, "If a man wants to be used by God, he cannot spend all of his time with people." If a man wants to be used by God, he cannot spend all of his time with people. We need to have that time and that space with the Lord. We need to be separated. We need to allow ourselves and devote time to separate ourselves to grow, again, in intimacy and friendship and devotion to God. The last thing is this, is that God will hide you to work on you. And you can either take this as good or as bad, right? But it's a good thing that God actually hides us to work on us. That God will say, you know what? You got things in your life. You have certain character traits that aren't so great. You have sins, right, that need repentance from. And so for this time, for right now, I'm going to hide you, and I'm going to hide you to work on you. And we should thank God that he does that, that he doesn't do everything publicly. He wants to use us in big ways and in public ways, right? But he's so good at hiding us to work on us and allowing that to be a work that is in secret, that is in a safe space, right? That if anyone, very few people know that God is working out these kinks, right? These character traits, this sin, this issue, this way of thinking, this heart problem, right? And he's just doing it, and he's doing it in secret. So if God is working on you in secret, in whatever way it is, let him continue to do that. If God is working on you in hiding, to continue to let him do that and to allow that work to be done in your life. And don't be in such a rush, right, to get it finished. Allow him to do what he needs to do. And when I think about that, I think about Paul. For those of us who don't know, we could be reading scripture and we can see Paul and we can think, oh, he got saved and then boom, he started his ministry. Easy, right? What a guy. Awesome. Right? But that's not the case, right? In Galatians chapter 1, verse 18 says, then after 3 years, Paul speaking, then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and remain there with him 15 days. From when Paul got saved until when we see him in his ministry, 3 years passed by of God working on Paul. And we know a lot about Paul's life before, right? He wasn't the greatest person, right? He didn't do the greatest things. We know that. We have enough insight about his life before, but not necessarily about those 3 years. And why? And I think because God's good, and he hid Paul and what he was going through those 3 years to create this finished product that we get to take a blessing in seeing, that the people at his time got to see. Right? But for 3 years, God was working on him, working out sin, working out prejudices, right? Working out heart issues, right? Thoughts, ways of thinking that weren't right, that didn't line up with scripture, that didn't line up with loving your brother, right? For 3 years, God was working on him, and he did it in private. He did it in secret. And what we saw the finished product of that. And so if God is hiding you right now and he's working on you, take that as a blessing that not everything in your life is public. And allow God to work on you so that when God does call you to do something in his timing and his anointed thing that he has for you, that people, for the most part, will see the finished product of what God has been doing for months or for years in your life. And before I just wrap this up in closing, I'm just going to take just quick few seconds right here and just be your hype man, your cheerleader, whatever you want, right? And just encourage you guys that every single one of us are anointed by the Lord. It doesn't matter if you're 17 or you're 7 or you're 70 in this room. It does not matter your age, because every single one of you guys are still here. There is still breath in your lungs. God is not done with you. He has anointed you. If you don't feel that way, or if you've never been told that, he has. He has things for you. I know that you have desires. You have dreams like Joseph, right? You have things that you still want to do, that God still wants to do in your life. And so just get ready for those things. Put in the work to do those things. Allow God to prepare you for those things, because he's not finished with you. Regardless, again, if you're 17 or 70, God is not finished with you. So don't be complacent, right? Don't be lazy. Do the work, put in the work so that God could be glorified in your life, so that your creator can be glorified. And I don't know what that work is. I don't know what it is for you, but I know that it's good. I know that God is setting you up for it. And until that opportunity comes, until his anointing timing comes for you to take those opportunities, if he's hiding you to protect you right now, take that protection. Don't take it as punishment. Take it as protection. If he's hiding you right now to separate you, it's because you need to grow in devotion. So just let that happen. That's a good thing. That's a good place to be. And if he's hiding you right now to work on you, right, let him do that. Because the time will come when God says, okay, we did it. You're ready. I set it up for you. this is your opportunity. This is your chance to talk to this person, to do this, to walk out boldly in this area, to take this new job, right? To grow in this relationship. I don't know what it is, but I know that God is setting you up for it, that God has been protecting you, that God has been separating you, and that God has been working on you. And so when it comes, when that opportunity comes, take it, right? It's his anointing on your life to do it. And God is not done with any of us, 17 or 70. All right, let's stand up. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you that you are a God that isn't finished with us. I know that we can feel like what we're doing in life is unfinished and unrewarded. Lord, that we can feel that your protection is punishment, or that waiting is punishment, and it's not. You want to protect us, Lord. You want to separate us to grow in devotion. Lord, you want to work on us. So I just pray that we would allow you to do that, and that when you are done setting it up for whatever it is, that we would be prepared, Lord, to walk through and to take those opportunities. Lord, all of us have aspirations and dreams and things you have put in our lives, things that you have put in our hearts, callings that you have for us, and we just want to be prepared for those. And we just thank you that you are a God that, again, doesn't want us to fail, that is setting us up, Lord, for success in our lives, not only for us, Lord, but for the benefit of other people and for the glory, Lord, of you. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.